It comes from the beginning of the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. You can find it on page 241 of your pew Bible, but I will also be reading the Common English Bible translation. Listen now for God's word. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left, along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth, and they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman, in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they said to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they might be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after her." But Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more so, if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. The word of the Lord. Four years ago, a little boy named Mateo Beltran earned a certain level of notoriety for starring in a viral video. You see, Mateo really wanted a cupcake, but his mom, Linda, would not let him have one. So in this video, Mateo stands in a kitchen wearing a green shirt and says to his mom, "Look at me, listen to me, look." After he makes his initial argument, Mateo can tell that he is not getting through to his mom. So he says, "Okay, Linda, listen, 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 Linda, listen." Have you seen this video? It goes on for 2 more minutes with Mateo trying really hard to get his mom to listen. "Listen, Linda, listen." I can't tell you how many times someone has quoted this video to me. Sometimes it's when I meet someone new, usually someone who's also a millennial or maybe younger. Maybe it's because they can't quite believe they're meeting a young person named Linda, so all they can come up with in response is, "Linda, listen." It's an odd phenomenon. Sometimes my good friends do it too. while we're talking, listen, Linda, listen. Other times I'll get a text message with a picture of Mateo making his argument with the words, Linda, listen, across the bottom. I'm not entirely sure why this particular piece of pop culture has hung on so long, and I can't say I'll miss it when it finally goes away. Listen, Linda. It's been hard to listen to much of anything or anyone lately. More often than not this past month or so, I've been driving around in silence instead of having NPR on in my car like I normally do. It's just been too much. First, it was the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who was brutally murdered upon entering the Saudi consulate in Turkey. This in the midst of other threats and hatred directed towards journalists in our country, too. Then it was the vandalism of the Jewish Community Center of Northern Virginia, which is really close to where I grew up, where someone spray-painted swastikas on the center's exterior walls. This, which happened 3 weeks before a gunman walked into the Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh and murdered 11 Jewish worshipers. Then there were bombs sent in the mail to prominent critics of the president. Two African Americans shot and killed in a Kroger by a gunman who said whites don't kill whites. Thousands of troops sent to our southern border to intimidate a caravan of Central American migrants who've been driven from their homes in desperation. Threats to eliminate the constitutional right to citizenship for those born in the United States to undocumented immigrants. It's too much. So instead of listening to the stories and the interviews and the commentary, I turn it off. I drive in silence. I isolate myself from the overwhelming fear that's at the core of stories like these, fear that threatens to take hold of me, too. But then I hear it. Listen, Linda. Or as Ben read just a bit ago, Israel, listen. I can easily imagine Naomi urging Ruth to listen in our Old Testament text for today. Here she is, just trying to go home to her people after losing everything, and Ruth will not listen to her. It was the days when judges ruled, a time of warfare amongst the tribes of Israel, a time of repeated disobedience to God's covenant, a time of lawlessness and fear. The text tells us that there was a famine in the land, famine which caused Naomi to migrate from Bethlehem to Moab with her husband and sons, in search of food, in search of survival. Ironically enough, survival is not in the cards for Naomi's family. First, Elimelech, her husband, dies, leaving Naomi with her two sons. They then take Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth, but then the sons die too. Naomi is left in a foreign land with two foreign daughters-in-law, without her children, and without her husband. Though it's unclear how much time has passed since her sons have died, Naomi gets word that God has provided food for the Israelites back in Bethlehem. The famine is over. So Naomi decides to return home. She leaves the place where she had been with her two daughters-in-law. They go with her. They go along the road to return to the land of Judah, to Bethlehem, the text tells us. But at some point in the journey, Naomi has a change of heart about her traveling companions. It's unclear how far they've traveled between Moab and Bethlehem, but Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to turn back. Perhaps she realizes she has no idea how she'll be accepted back home in Bethlehem with these foreigners in tow. It's been more than 10 years, after all, since she left, and Moabites, they're not exactly admired by the Israelites. For centuries, Israelites have viewed Moabites as corrupt, wicked, immoral, and women in particular are seen as agents of impurity and evil. So Naomi tells Orpah and Ruth to turn back, to go home to Moab, to find new husbands, to start over. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me, she says. Leave me be, it seems like she's saying. Listen to me. Turn back. The Lord's faithfulness that Naomi speaks of is hesed, a Hebrew word which can also be translated as steadfast love, loving kindness, faithfulness, or loyalty. By invoking the blessing of Hesed on Orpah and Ruth, Naomi attempts to break their relationship, signaling to them that they're free to leave without any worry of disloyalty. The text tells us that after some initial hesitation and weeping, Orpah listens to Naomi and turns back, returning to her people. But Ruth does not give up. Instead, she doubles down, returning Hesed, her faithfulness and loyalty, back to Naomi. Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so, even if death separates me from you. For Ruth, Hesed, the steadfast love, is more powerful than any ethnic separation between Moabites and Israelites. Can you hear echoes of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark saying, Israel, listen, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, love. This love, this Hesed, is an important theme through the book of Ruth. Hesed is more about actions than it is about a feeling. In particular, actions of kindness or demonstrations of loyalty that are called for when one person is in some serious trouble and in need of some sort of extraordinary assistance. To do or show Hesed is to demonstrate loving kindness and loyalty that extends far beyond what the law requires, beyond anything the recipient expects or even deserves to receive. And perhaps most importantly, Hesed is more than human loyalty. It imitates God's divine initiative that comes without being deserved. In other words, Hesed is of God. Listen, love. In our passage from Mark, the Greek word for love is agape, which is remarkably similar to Hesed. Agape too communicates something about the nature of God, that God alone is the source of love. And just like Hesed, agape is not emotional love, but instead a response to someone in need. Love for God and love for neighbor, then, is love in action. In fact, Jesus' commandment to love neighbor is meant to expand this requirement of love to include the migrant or sojourner, a person who is to be regarded as a basic citizen and loved as oneself. In Jesus' day, as in ours, God challenges God's people to love as themselves those whom they perceive as not like themselves. Listen, love. The book of Ruth is full of people who are challenged to love those not like themselves. In the chapters to come, Ruth the Moabite, a foreigner from a terribly stereotyped country, winds up finding a new home and a new family in Bethlehem. In this way, the story is about reversal of results, from emptiness to fullness, from loss of family to creation of family. It is also about the reversal of relationships, aliens to allies, attackers to supporters. What's more, these reversals are not brought about by politicians or priests, but by individuals who recognize a need for common humanity and share a basic need for survival. In other words, Hesed makes the difference. I wonder what might happen in our own world today if we too returned Hesed to one another, if we would let love and commitment to God and neighbor drive us instead of fear. Ruth challenges us to recognize our common humanity with all people, regardless of their citizenship, their skin color, political party, or religion. Because we are called to treat everyone with the same care we would wish for ourselves. Listen, love. Just this week, I read an article that followed up on the vandalism of the Jewish Community Center of Northern Virginia. Those 19 swastikas were scrubbed away, but another unreported graffiti incident took place a day later. This graffiti was chalk, colored chalk, all over the sidewalk, proclaiming messages of support and love from neighbors. Hesed. Friends, know this. In times of disorder and fear, simple acts of Hesed can open up the future that God intends. May we go and do likewise. Amen.